Hello, everyone, and welcome to Crying with Karen, your favorite podcast. So this is the part of our show that is technically an add-on called Prequel Sequel. The prequel part comes in because most of our listeners will listen to these little blurbs before the actual podcast comes out. And the sequel part comes in because I record these to fill in information that should have been discussed or would be helpful to know of the main podcast. So at first, I'm going to talk about The Good Life and several aspects that we talk about on the main podcast coming out later. I'm going to keep my views very short because I have talked about them before. And then at the end, I'm going to fill in some blanks about our guest speaker, who is my mom. And so we'll talk about her. Let's get started. So we mainly talked about three different aspects of what we consider The Good Life. The first one being something you would not consider part of the good life, but it's necessary to talk about because it's kind of your anti in a way, is evil. So as I have mentioned before, I don't really believe in evil. And to be honest with you, this probably has changed. I've never really understood how people define a bad person because I put everything down to life experiences, environment, and hereditary issues. I think me being a psychology major has not helped my viewpoint on this because I now understand a lot of the reasoning behind what people do, and it's not necessarily because they are intentionally trying to cause harm or abuse others. That is not to say that we have not talked about institutional evil, and I do think that is a whole other beast by itself, especially when you think about mob mentality being how you would act individually is not how you would act in a group. For example, during the times of the KKK and the civil rights movement, you'd have mobs of lynching. Now, individually, these people probably would not have gone out and killed a black person by themselves. But that mob mentality kind of makes you feel invincible and as if you are part of a larger group, and that gives you the excuse, if you will, to do bad things. But in general, especially when it comes to Shakespeare and Othello, I do not believe in evil, and I don't think Iago was evil. I just think he was considered an archetype of Machiavellianism, which would have been a big deal during that time, as The Prince by Machiavelli would have come out before that. All right, moving on. Next, we talked about happiness. Now, as you all know, we don't define happiness based on the emotion here on this podcast. We talk about it as if it's a journey to a higher self. Happiness has to be your end goal without anything else in mind besides reaching your happy state or your altered state. I, however, do not believe that you can reach happiness without having the emotion behind it. Like, how would you know that you've reached or achieved happiness if you can't have an emotion associated with it? You know what I mean? Like, let's say that your end-all be-all to be happy occurs. How would you know it? You have everything going on right around you. You have a great family. But if you don't feel an emotion involved with it, I don't think you can reach that kind of state of achievement, if you will. Another big thing involved with happiness was if and how external limitations might limit your ability to achieve happiness or just alters what your happiness would be. My mom actually talks about this quite a lot, and we'll discuss why at the end of this little prequel sequel podcast. But I think that the way you are raised and what you are given to work with in your life might change what you think happiness is, or what would be included in your state of happiness. If you come from, let's say, a poor third world country, I'm not going to specify what, you might think being happy is just having the bare minimum to support yourself, be able to provide for your family. If you come from a non-Western culture, for example, a Japanese culture, they value community values. So if your family is doing well, if your country is doing well, not necessarily if you yourself are having personal success, you know, things change based on how you live. So I would answer the question that way, but I think everyone can still achieve happiness. Lastly, we're going to talk about love I honestly have very little experience with this, so I kind of feel like a hypocrite talking about it, but I will attempt to, especially through the lens of Shakespeare. So we talk about two main plays involving love previously, and those are Romeo and Juliet and As You Like It. I always forget the name of the other one. I believe it's As You Like It. And for the former, Romeo and Juliet, I would argue that that play is not about love. It's about lust. Just not even, my personal vendetta or pessimism aside, I would say that it's about lust because they don't have enough time or the appropriate type of affection toward each other. Romeo is very much a hot-blooded male who's like, I really just want to feel passion or have a passionate time with this person. And yes, I'm including sex in that. And Juliet is a little different. She thinks she's in love. However, she's technically 13, so she really wouldn't really know what that is either. And I think she's more interested in finding a suitable mate instead of what her parents have picked out for her. So I don't necessarily think Romeo and Juliet is about love. I think it's about lust and ignorance to that fact. And I think the other play that we talk about, I was right, As You Like It, huh? That isn't really about love either, because our main character, who Rosalind, who dresses up as a male, she, I would argue, thinks that love is having someone who can be the exact replica of who you want. So you have a list of qualities that you find attractive in a person or you need in your life, and you have to make sure they tick all of these boxes. And that is really not what love is. Ask any married couple, there's a lot of compromise. And to achieve her goal, she literally educates this man on how to achieve everything she wants out of a man. And I would argue that's not love because you're not accepting them as who they are. You're manipulating them into a completely different person. So I would argue that's a play more about education and less about love. My mom has some interesting things to say about my love life at the end of the podcast, so look out for that. So I'm going to stop talking about it now because, like I said, I'm no expert. And the main part of this podcast is kind of introducing my mom and who she is. So my mom was born in 1963. Her name is Kelly. She comes from a Catholic background, Irish Catholic, and she was born in Buffalo, New York. If you know anyone from Buffalo, New York, they will never let you forget it. So I am very well aware of everything she grew up knowing in that region. The main life points that I wanted to hit were kind of how she's molded into the person she is. So when she was 11, her father was murdered in a grocery store that the family owned, and she was there. So she lost her dad really young in life. And she didn't really have time to mourn because her mom, my grandmother, completely shut down as a person, did not work, kind of just became catatonic to a point. So my mom had to provide for her and her brother and her mom and work really hard. In fact, she got into Harvard for undergrad because she is extremely intelligent, but she could not go because there was no way she could afford the expenses or stay away from her family for that long. So she went to, I believe, Buffalo State, and she worked her way through college and a full-time job and her studies and providing for her mom during that time. So she is both a very intelligent and very courageous person in that regard. To elaborate on her courage, actually, in November, maybe October of 2020, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Fortunately, I guess you could say it was between a stage one and two type of cancer. So she was able to get the cancerous tumors removed. And actually, as of 2 weeks ago from this podcast, she had her last round of chemo, and they think everything's going very well, but they won't know until radiation is done, which could take, I think, 8 more months of radiation every 4 weeks, I believe. she's in very good spirits, and I think honestly she was more worried about me than herself. My family was never one to shy away from the truth or not tell their children what's going on. So I've been very involved with that everything. It's been very hard at times as well because I have been here at Barry most of the time. But yeah, so even during this time, she was caring more about other people than she was herself. So she is a very selfless person at heart. She talks about evil. That's what I really want you to pay attention to, as well as her love advice for me. Her definition and analogy she uses for evil, I have been thinking about since I did that podcast, which was about a week and a half ago, and it's still kind of stuck with me, so I would pay attention to that analogy she uses. But she also mentions how her perception of evil, and with that mercy, has changed since she was younger, and I'll kind of explain why in as short as possible. So as she was growing up, every couple years or so past a point, the two men that were involved with the robbery and then murder of her dad would go on parole, and her family would be very anti-parole, go against them, like shouting and crying, "How could you let them go after they've done this to my family? We're broken, we're never the same, we're in poverty, and they shouldn't be out on the streets," etc. And my mom was part of that as well, that mindset. However, over the years, her understanding changed. She no longer thought that these two people were evil. Knowing more about them, they were both heavy drug addicts, and they got clean in prison, and they were there looking for money, and one of them accidentally pulled the trigger. It was not an intentional murder. And she let it go after, I think they were released after 12 years. And she was the reason why. She did a testimony on behalf of her family. And a lot of her family were very against her mindset, but she decided that's what she needed to do, and that was right. So that kind of explains her interpretation of that. All right. If you have any more questions, you can feel free to tune in, listen to the main podcast. And then after that, if you have questions, you can go to our website or contact me at the Twitter account listed three episodes ago when we were talking about why our while men perceive women more sensitive than we actually are. So look for that episode. I think it's titled Not in My Feminist Household. So look at that. And as always, we will see you during the main podcast with Crying with Karen.